You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind.
Willie P, who called in earlier, I want to let you know you and Kendrick Perkins agree on something. He, quote, tweeted one of the many NBA engagement accounts with Reed Shepard's performance and said that's how an NBA player is supposed to look in the G League. So he is as unimpressed by it as you are. I don't know if you ever thought you'd have something in common with Big Perk, but there it is.
Hey, at least you called him an NBA player.
Well, if, that's true.
I haven't seen him play in the NBA.
Not very much. Certainly not to the extent we thought we would when he was drafted. All right, let's get to the question I asked Sean late in the first hour. Is this the least positive you felt about the Longhorns' chances in a game in the last two seasons? So let's lay it out. They've played Alabama on the road. They've played Georgia twice, once at home, once in the SEC title game. They have played Washington in the CFP semifinal. They have played A&M on the road in what you could call an SEC title semifinal, a winner in, or in loser out, and they won that one. You might not have been that concerned about the Aggies. Turns out you would have been right if you weren't that concerned. Where is this one ranking? Also, Clemson in a first-round game, Arizona State in a quarterfinal. So you have played...
In hindsight, Arizona State, number one.
Yes, after how that game was. So you have watched and been getting gotten prepared to watch a lot of big games the last 2 years. Credit to Sark for elevating the Longhorn program.
Yeah.
Where does this one rank as far as, well, I don't know about this one, Ohio State, Texas, and the CFP semifinal?
So the last one that I felt as... I don't know about this one. I don't know about this one, Chief, was before the 2022 game against Alabama with Bryce Young coming to Austin.
Okay.
They're 20-point underdogs.
Yeah, that was a big spread. And Texas battled them in some ways, probably should have won the game.
Yeah, they could have won. I don't know about should have won. People complain about a call.
And Quinn Ewers got hurt, so who knows if he's not hurt.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I'm actually like, oh, okay. That's reasonable. But yeah, so you have to go back to early 2022.
So not even in the last 2 years. You'd have to go back to 2022.
No, not really. Like, I mean, we didn't know that Michigan was going to be as bad as they were, but that's like a normal level of, I guess, like, I don't know, of taking your opponent seriously. That's like, okay, you're going to have to go in and actually play like a real game, and you're going to be tested. And again, I didn't know that Davis Warren didn't have anything for me passing the ball through the air. Going to the Georgia game this season, thought they're on pretty equal footing. Georgia hadn't looked awesome all season. Still really haven't looked as awesome as they looked in October in Austin. But yeah, I think that's probably the only one in the last 2 years. Shout out to Brent Venables. Normally an Oklahoma game would be in there.
Not so concerned anymore, right?
No, again, like 2023, like there's like a level of like this team is good. There's a good chance, or there's a chance that they lose. There's a decent chance they lose. But this Ohio State team, it's different. This one's different than oh, it's gonna be a tough road game in College Station. It's gonna be super loud. This is more. Oh my God, what the hell are they gonna do against Jeremiah Smith? And Emeka Buka and Carnell Tate.
And Texas has a good secondary, too. They have a Thorpe Award winner.
They have a good secondary. They do have a good corner. They have one good safety, I'd say.
Not the guy who sealed the game, though. with the pick. Are you talking about him or are you talking about the other one?
I'm talking about Andrew Mukuba.
Okay, you're talking about him.
Michael Taff.
You're not talking about Taff.
Great story. Former walk-on. I'll leave it at that.
I've heard.
I'll leave it at that.
You know, if Ohio State's receivers have a big day against him,
circle that,
you're going to be like, that's the walk-on popping up.
Some of that is because they have they have an injury back there. He shouldn't actually be
starting.
He was in the rotation the entire year, but he shouldn't be starting. But that's the issue I have is if the defensive line doesn't absolutely whip Ohio State.
And they have a chance to.
That is the strength of the Texas defense is the front. And that is the weakness of the Ohio State team is their offensive line. The question is can Texas win enough up front on defense to make it matter? Because you know who also has a good defensive front? Oregon. Didn't matter. Know who else has a first-round pick at defensive end? Tennessee. Didn't matter. So that's where
It didn't matter partly because Ohio State was cooking so much offensively that the game script turned because of how good they were offensively. But to your point, the Ohio State offensive line handled anything that Tennessee or Oregon threw at them. I am interested to see if the Will Howard effect plays a part in this one, because it's now been over a month ago, but only two games. Will Howard was the guy, at least against Michigan, I remember you, the Kansas State guy, pretty good player.
Yeah,
but nothing too crazy. And Texas has handled Will Howard fine.
Yes, Will Howard 0-4 in his career against Texas.
Yeah, maybe that has to do with the talent in Manhattan, Kansas, as opposed to the talent in Columbus.
Whoa. Well, that's going back to a pandemic Tom Herman team and a 5-7 Sarkisian team.
I am not unaware of Will Howard's struggles, and we remember the last time he played Texas, he had a real chance to win that game and screwed it up late. That's a game Texas should have lost, and he found
Malik Murphy was the starting quarterback.
That doesn't mean they shouldn't have lost it. I'm not saying they're at full strength. I'm just saying that's a game Texas should have lost, and Will Howard screwed it up for K-State.
Yeah, but
you need that Will Howard.
I do like when he's doing that stuff.
Yes, you need K-State Will Howard. Yeah. You like the Will Howard. That's the K-State one, not the Ohio State one.
They're gonna make me turn me into the old me. That's what I want.
Turn Will Howard into the old him, the one who sees Texas and loses his mind.
So. Yes, I'm worried about the wide receiver. I was going to say the passing game. I'm worried about the wide receivers with Ohio State. Will Howard's been good enough. Again, like we said, he's been good the last two games. I don't know.
Can you make him come off the first read?
That is a good question. Yes.
That needs to happen.
I didn't mean yes, they can. I mean, yes, I'm also thinking about that.
Can a game plan be put together? Because you can't depend on the pass rush every time to get home before the first read comes open. But can you do enough to trick him and make him come off a first read? And Will Howard gets, I won't say exponentially worse, but he is not the same player when he has to come off the number one, whether it be Smith or Buka, whoever it might be. Can your DC, can your secondary play enough games? And if they can do that, if they can fool him, that gives your pass rush a chance to not just have to be elite off the snap, just to work it and kind of maybe it's the same way the Texans can't handle stunts. Maybe it'll be a lot of games being played with that Ohio State front or offensive line, which has done well over the last couple weeks.
Yes, and that is the side of the ball I feel better about. The Texas defense versus Ohio State offense, I feel better about than the flip side that we haven't talked about. Because I think what's been just because Jeremiah Smith was so incredible, and because of some of the really, really good throws that Will Howard made against Tennessee.
The one down the seam to Abuka.
Mm-hmm. What's been forgotten is that this entire season, the Ohio State defense has been one of the best in football.
They've been overshadowed by how explosive their offense has been over the last couple weeks, but they're not the reason they lost to Michigan.
They're not the reason it was close against Nebraska.
Yeah.
Really, the only game they played bad was the Oregon game in Oregon in the regular season.
And they certainly found a way to remove that.
They fixed some things.
Yeah, they removed
they
that from our memory, the way they played against them in the Rose Bowl. So That is the marquee matchup. Now, the Penn State-Notre Dame game is very traditional. Those teams used to play each other quite a bit back in the 90s when Penn State was an independent. Notre Dame continues to be one. And even as they drifted into the Big Ten, those teams played quite a bit. That game has kind of gone by the wayside as expansion has changed the way college football is set up. But they get to play again. It's the less glamorous matchup. You do have Drew Aller, who people think can use this potentially to maybe if he changes his mind and enters the draft. He's already made the decision, at least going into this playoff, that he was going to come back. We will see if the run that he's currently on is enough to change his mind, considering how weak the quarterback draft is supposed to be. That one, can Notre Dame stay on script? Can they continue to allow their defense to position them to not have to force Riley Leonard to throw the ball? I mean, he threw for 80 yards in a win over Georgia. Now, Georgia was with their backup quarterback, whose numbers weren't terrible. Georgia just made a couple critical mistakes late, well, bookending the end of the first half and the start of the third quarter with the strip sack that led to a touchdown and then the kickoff return. That ended the game right there.
Yeah. Other than that, they played them very even.
Yes. So can Notre Dame play like, can Notre Dame force those type of turnovers again to put Penn State in a position where the running game becomes less of a factor? Because just looking at the game, I don't think much of Riley Leonard throwing the football against, by the way, a good defense in Penn State.
Yeah.
Now, Notre Dame has some dudes in the backfield. Jeremiah Love is the name that people remember, but their backup looked good against Georgia, too.
Yeah. Love banged up. I'm not quite sure what his status will be, but he's dealing with injury. That's kind of the Notre Dame, I guess, through line with all their guys.
Fight through.
Xavier Watts, good safety. Probably, I was talking about this with Joe, and I honestly forgot who was the best player that he said, because he said their best player's hurt. I said, oh, this guy? And no, the other one. That's how bad it is that their defensive tackle, it's not Riley Moss, it's Riley something, is missed the Georgia game. Probably. I'm not sure about his status. Not sure about Xavier Watts' status. The good safety who, you know, would be helpful to put on Tyler Warren. It's mm-hmm. a really good safety. That'd be very helpful if they could do that.
Very true.
So it's a team. Like Notre Dame, I think just in a vacuum is better than Penn State. But with the injuries that they are facing, I'm not entirely sure. Especially when you throw in the Tyler Warren effect of these teams are very similar, but one team has that guy, and the other team on offense doesn't have anyone that comes close to that.
And as much as we have decided throwing slander at Penn State is fun, and even taking it out on the coach, and the quarterback Drew Aller is competent enough to make enough plays that might be enough to beat Notre Dame. I just don't know how many plays Notre Dame's going to make if their defense isn't creating opportunities.
I mean, like you said, Stockton was a strip sack away and maybe like one drop that doesn't get dropped from, like, we're talking about a very close game late against Georgia or with Georgia against Notre Dame. So Drew Aller doesn't need to be like insane. Like, it's not like what I was saying with like Cade Klubnik, where it's like if Cade Klubnik just has the game of his life, they have a chance, and he gave him kind of close. He probably gave an 8 out of 10 on that scale. With Drew Aller, it's like, just do a little bit of why people think you're going to be drafted highly. I mean, against Boise State, it's probably not good that everyone watching was like, why the hell is Penn State throwing the ball so much against mm-hmm. Boise State? Just run the ball and win. It's like, well, if Drew Aller was that good, we shouldn't be like...
That wouldn't be a thought we had.
Yeah, he should just be able to throw the ball against Boise State. So that's part of the Penn State thing, is that Boise State, good team, but ultimately not the test that we talk about when we talk about Penn State failing big game tests. Same thing with SMU. SMU, another one, didn't actually get blown out as badly as the score looks because they threw two pick sixes and they got stopped on a 4th-and-1
It was at early. At least a first down if he runs for it, if he makes the throw of touchdowns. Yes. So those games on their face, if you didn't watch them, blowouts by Penn State. Look at the margin of victory. Watching the games, outside of, at least in the SMU game, bad quarterback play, which is very important. If you get a normal Jennings game, how does that game go? We don't know because we got an awful Jennings game, like a disastrous one. Unfortunately for SMU, Penn State took advantage. And certainly it was 17-14 in the third quarter against Boise State before Penn State, when they decide, hey, let's run the ball. That'll be great, right? And then they took control.
This guy that NFL teams are begging to go back into the draft, let's get take the ball out of his hand. Let's just run it. That's
but yes, let's hype up Drew Aller. Even though it went that way.
And I said it when the field was set, that is a very funny group of quarterbacks for this show in particular to be in the Final Four.
It is.
I think Drew Aller might be the best quarterback in here.
I asked you when the Final Four was set, is this the worst field for quarterbacks? A lot of feels like bus riders, not bus drivers for these quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
As far as the Final Four, yeah.
Final Four is like, even like the first one, you go back and there's like Blake Sims, I think, for Alabama. But then it's also Jameis Winston, Cardale Jones, and Marcus Mariota. Like,
yeah.
two NFL quarterbacks.
Two Heisman winners.
And Cardale Jones was playing out of his mind.
On a hot one, yeah. And then you had Blake Sims. Yeah, it's a weak field.
I'm going to sit here and try to, like, in the break, try to think.
Find a weaker field.
Yeah.
Because usually we've at least
Jake
had.
Jake Browning.
You had
one.
I don't remember. Was Jake,
who Jake was a, Browning, Washington.
Was it Coke, Jacob Coker on the team he played against?
Yeah, that would have been Coker, but Coker played against Watson.
Yeah, at minimum, there's at least a real prospect. Last year, Michael Penix, first rounder. McCarthy, first rounder. No matter what I thought about McCarthy and how important he was, but he was a first rounder too last year.
Max Duggan.
TCU.
TCU.
McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy, top 10 pick, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Stetson Bennett. C.J. Stroud. Dang it.
You thought you had one. But even
there's
then,
always one. I mean, C.J. Stroud. I've seen some numbers that suggest he's not that good. And Bryce Young's actually better than him in the last six games.
I've seen those numbers too, but still, top two pick.
If we're getting J.J. McCarthy, pretty good.
We still got CJ. You know, the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. So keep thinking. See if you can find a weaker quarterback class. I dare you. All right. We are way late, but that's what we do. We'll come back with more Texan stuff. The Chargers are the opponent. Joe Mixon scoffed at the fact that Rex Ryan said they're a bye. He also talked about what this game means and if this team can go on a run. He's stressing the importance of that, so we'll hear from him. And we'll also hear from D'Amico Ryans on the media asking him about how they're going to cover Ladd McConkey. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool. Yes.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Before we get to the Texan stuff, just to clean up some of the CFP talk, we talked about Jeremiah Love. He's, quote, good to go against Penn State.
Okay.
And a Penn State injury that we did not mention, Abdul Carter, their star edge player. He expects to go. Penn State expects him to go as well. So a couple stars who are injury concerns for the game tomorrow in Miami in the Orange Bowl are looking like they're going to play.
And I did some more CFP.
Quarterback. Stuff, okay.
That's the worst.
Not even close.
I mean,
right?
There's a couple close ones. Ian Book, Notre Dame.
I remember.
Mac Jones, and then Justin Fields. And Trevor Lawrence in 2020.
Still talking about three first-round picks.
Exactly.
We know how they played out on the NFL level, but still. Three
Ritter,
first-rounders.
Stetson. Who's the guy before McCarthy at Michigan?
Did they make a playoff before McCarthy?
Yeah, he's the Iowa quarterback. Cade McNamara.
Cade McNamara against Georgia. Yeah,
so I felt good about this one with Ritter, Stetson, Bennett. McNamara, but the quarterback was Bryce Young for Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
There's always one good one. There's always at least one really good one.
Now, of course, Texas this year had a quarterback people thought would be the first rounder. That has not played out that way. But, yeah, it's generally been the case where you could find at least one future clear-cut first rounder. It's not the case.
Yeah, last year even, like, McCarthy first rounder, Penix first rounder, Milrow, and last year Quinn Ewers, way better.
Yes.
All four of those guys would be the best quarterback in this one.
The Milrow 2023, Quinn 2023, and then of course the other guys who got drafted in the first round. Yeah, it's an odd setup.
That
these teams led by those quarterbacks, I guess it wouldn't have mattered unless Cam Ward made it, or Shador in Colorado made it, because aren't really any clear first round quarterbacks across the country
for first rounders. Yeah, maybe Drew Aller gets there, but even then, like in the moment, where like all these guys, like just looking at random years, like there's a. Joe Burrow, I think Dwayne Haskins, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence here, where it's like all of them have good quarterbacks. All of them have quarterbacks that in the moment you're like, these guys are awesome. And this year you just don't have any.
We'll see if it affects.
Maybe Drew Aller. Drew Aller in 20 years when he's getting fitted for the gold jacket.
Where?
Canton.
Oh. I thought some company was giving him a gold jacket after retirement.
At what, the car dealership? No.
Yeah.
No, this is...
Drew Aller Honda.
Maybe if... I'm trying to think of who lost last week that could have changed it. Maybe if Dylan Gabriel...
No, he's not a first...
But no, he's not a first quarterback. But just, he would have been a better college quarterback than these guys.
That's true. He's thrown a lot of touchdown passes over the course of, what, three teams now.
And just if you're playing the game, like, who of these four would you want to start... A big game, like if you could pick any of them,
yeah, Dylan Gabriel
would be
my guy. Yeah, that's
and
true.
Then these four,
you're just hoping to survive.
I might go Will Howard.
Yes, off the last two games, yeah, but before then, no. But the recency and the success that he's had in these recent games, yes, Will Howard, I guess. But that could all change on Friday. I'm like, oh, that's Will Howard I remember.
This is a disgusting choice.
It is.
Because I'm close to saying Quinn.
And you don't want to say
no,
Quinn.
No, I've seen him in big games. I don't like it.
Well, hopefully you get good Quinn on Friday. All right. The Texans do have a quarterback who's played in the CFP and played great. Didn't come out on top, but he did play great. We'll see how he plays in his third playoff game on Saturday against the Chargers. Well, Joe Mixon... He'll let you know about it. You'll hear it in the clip. He's had a lot of playoff success, and he's trying to tell the team about what it could mean for them to go on a run. Here's Joe Mixon about the possibility of going on a big run in these playoffs for the Texans.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people usually had their 2 and 3 year periods where they make their run and, you know, they do certain things. And, you know, I tell the guys, like, right now, like, the time is now to strike. It ain't no next year. It ain't none of that. You know what I'm saying? It's right now. What you going to do with your opportunity? Like I said, you got to put your best shit on tape. And I feel like I said, right now, we primed to do that. And I firmly believe that. And at the end of the day, what it come down to is you got to have luck, right? A little luck on your side. You know, you got to stay injury free, and that come with luck. And like I say, taking care of the football, playing complementary football in all three phases. And I think that, you know, we're going to be in great shape, man. So... I'm excited. I'm excited to be back in this position. And, you know, I just keep trying to have my guys, the eyes on the prize. You know what I'm saying? You got to put everything in perspective. I just keep telling them, man, look, you win this game, you win next game, that's AFC Championship. I've been there before. Like, I know what it takes. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, sometimes you got to speak that shit to existence. That's real. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you win three. Obviously, everybody's speaking like that right now. You obviously taking care of 1 week at a time. You know what I'm saying? Because it's do or die. But when it come down to it, like I said, I done been there before. I've been to two back-to-back AFC championships. Went to the Super Bowl. And to be back in this here position, man, I mean, like I said, I will do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get back there. You know what I'm saying? I just got to make sure everybody else on that same page. And once they have that mindset and they're going to do everything that it takes to get there, I think that's when you'll know, like, we're gonna be very successful. So I'm looking forward to it, man, and exciting times.
if Joe Mixon was talking about the team who exited training camp, I feel better about what he's talking about. The team that he currently will be taking the field with is decimated, at least when it comes to their offensive core. And certainly the offensive line hasn't played great. They've had to shuffle. Scruggs will take over for Mason in this game. I appreciate the sentiment. He has been on a team who made a run who was an underdog. That first Bengals team, I think they won that home game against the Raiders. And then they had to go on the road a couple times. They beat Tennessee, and then they beat the Chiefs. So he has come from a spot of no one believes in us to go on a big-time run. This one would be more remarkable than the Bengals. Now, we didn't know it at the time. Maybe some of you did. They had two big-time wide receivers, a young quarterback who was well thought of, and a defense who showed up when it mattered. I think the Texans defense is better than that Bengals defense. The guy who authored that run on the defense, Big Lou Anarumo, now fired by the Bengals. But the Bengals defense was the question. They showed up and got stops, and we know what they did to Patrick Mahomes in the second half of that AFC title game. The Texans are better defensively. They are, I think, much worse offensively than that Bengals team. But Joe Mixon says he knows. We will see. I think just beat the Chargers. I think that's the ceiling for this team. But Joe Mixon thinks they have a chance to do much more. We will see. Gary wants to talk about Joe Mixon. We'll get to Gary here. What's up, Gary?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I think the statement bodes well better than coming out of preseason, the unknown. I get it, the unknown. All 32 teams feel the same way both Joe Mixon feels. And every fan base of the 32 NFL teams will feel the same way. But saying it in the midst of some trials and tribulations and knowing that he has experience, just like everybody talks, they hiring these coaches or on your job, whatever, with experience, he has the experience and he feels and knows and believes that. I think it's more becoming in this time because all 32 teams in the beginning and all 32 fan bases feel this way, but now he's in the position and he knows what's in that locker room. And speaking it now is better than speaking it in the beginning because everybody spoke it in the beginning.
I don't disagree with that. I think saying it now when you have a playoff game and you've gone through an entire season means more than the optimism of coming off of a training camp where everyone feels good about themselves. I just think the team that he left training camp with is better equipped to fulfill what he thinks they're capable of than this one just because of the injuries they suffered. Now, if they get it done, it would be a no one believes in us type of run because this team, the way they played down the stretch, the way they have suffered injuries, it would be far exceeding the current expectations, but that's up to them. They got every opportunity to prove that, and it starts against a Chargers team that, speaking to expectations, they're an underdog to a Chargers team who has plenty to prove as well. Gary, I appreciate it. I do think Joe Mixon's words mean more like you do. I just don't know if I buy them because of the roster that they'll have to put out there. But, hey, starts on Saturday in their prime slot. First game of the playoffs, the Texans Invitational.
I've kind of come around to, like, I actually think it's cool that the Texans have their own.
Have their own, yeah. It's what they
tradition.
Do. It's
because part of it is you do have to win the AFC South every year to get that. Because it's every time it is a home playoff game at NRG at 3:30.
Yeah, they don't start on the road in the playoffs. They start at home.
I don't think they've ever been a wild card.
I don't think they've ever been the wild card. The AFC South, there was a year where the Colts made it when they made it. But for the most, you know, it's happened where there's two.
That was 2012. The Texans won the division.
Yeah, there have been times when the AFC South has gotten a couple, but it's usually just one and done.
Yeah, and then 18, they played the Colts in NRG. So, yeah.
They've always made the playoffs by winning the division.
See? I don't know what I'm saying C for.
I mean, yes. All we're doing is confirming what your thought was. See? I was right.
It's good that they have that this is their tradition.
Yeah, they don't back in. They win their way, and they don't need help. They go out and win the division.
For 40 years, the Lions having Thanksgiving was like an embarrassing tradition because America got to go, why is this team on Thanksgiving?
Every year, America forgets and then remembers, oh, yeah, there's a Lions game.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lions are playing. And they had Barry Sanders at points, they had Calvin Johnson, and at least we get to see a star player and whatever you thought about Matthew Stafford when he was there. But it's the rest of the team, the Lions.
They're just going to lose to the Packers.
And they'll put on the cool uniforms where they'll just the blank silver helmets and the old school jerseys. Those look cool. Those are pretty cool.
Those are cool.
And like you said, then Brett Favre would ruin Thanksgiving for the Lions. And then Aaron Rodgers, too. Now look at him. Look at you, Aaron. Lions, things have changed. The number one overall seed, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
With the bye, too. Thanks, Gary, for the call. Gary called in yesterday. He was the one who said someone told him he had peanut butter skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But did they say it in a Jason Whitlock tone?
I don't think they did. No. I doubt it.
I don't know if anyone ever has. But
no offense, Gary.
I'm sure they said it complimentary, but I don't think they said it in the way Jason Whitlock said it, because that was said in a way I've never heard it before. Shout out to the man who dared to go on the internet and say it that way. But I'm glad I'm glad he knows what he's capable of and found a way not to ruin his career, I guess, according to him. Okay, we will go to break here. We got a couple more segments to go on the show. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the phone number. So we heard from Joe Mixon. Let's hear from D'Amico when we come back on what is the Texans' plan for covering the Chargers' best wide receiver. We will hear from D'Amico when we're back. But I got something here, Sean. You looked at me like I have something here. I can't hear you.
My bookie.
I do have something here. If you want to put some money down on number of yards Ladd McConkey is going to gain against the Texans, you can. You go to my bookie for that. That seems very specific because they give you options for everything, from the NFL playoffs to the NBA on a night-to-night basis. We got a big game tonight. Thunder Cavs, the two best teams in each conference, play each other. Check it out. Maybe you like Donovan Mitchell on the over. All that is there for you at mybookie.ag. Check out the website. Check out what they have to offer. And remember, use that promo code BET975 to take advantage. And once you get there, you'll see they will match up to 50% on your deposit. So, actually, they've changed it. It's been changed again. I just checked the website. It's back to 100% on the deposit. So, if you want to put $400 down, they will give you $400. Up to $1,000, they'll do that. Plus 10 casino chips, which you can use in the casino to gamble or play cards. Maybe you don't think that's gambling. You might think that's the skill you have, whether it be poker or blackjack. You can take advantage of everything they have to offer. MyBookie, MLB, you want to put a futures bet on the Astros? Or maybe you like the Giants because they just signed Justin Verlander. All that is there for you. Remember, go to the website, mybookie.ag, and you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The NFL Players Association voted Derek Stingley first team All-Pro. He and Patrick Surtain are the two cornerbacks who were voted there. Now the question is, will Derek Stingley, the Texans, maybe you think he's their best defensive player, period. He certainly is their best secondary player. Will he be shadowing a Charger? That has been a thing throughout the year. When you see a big name receiver coming up on the schedule, how are the Texans going to treat him? Are they going to shadow him with their best player? Are they just going to play their defense? Well, D'Amico Ryans was asked about the possibility of shadowing Ladd McConkey, who probably is on the lower end of best receivers for teams the Texans have played. But the Chargers are the Chargers, and they don't exactly win by throwing the ball all over the place to a great core. So maybe Ladd McConkey is their best. Here's how D'Amico Ryans plans to defend Ladd McConkey.
The Chargers moving McConkey around quite a bit. We've seen at times you ask Derek Stingley to follow some of the top options on the other team receiving-wise. Do you anticipate asking him to do that a little bit for this Chargers game? Or has Kamari kind of vowed to go?
You want me to tell you my game plan? Or All right, thank you guys.
More media question than answer. So D'Amico's not going to tell us what's going to happen. We'll just have to wait till Saturday. I don't think Ladd McConkey warrants a shadowing. He's fine. He's a nice fine for the Chargers. He doesn't warrant a shadowing.
Yeah, maybe if he is like killing you with whoever's in the slot.
Yeah, let the game decide whether you need to follow. Yeah. It should be not. You should not go into the week thinking we got to shut down Ladd McConkey.
I agree. He
was a good player for the Chargers. He's not someone a whole game plan should be centered around, just even if it is a playoff game.
Throw Kamari Laster on him.
Whatever like, side he lines up on.
Remember this guy from Georgia?
Remember he used to smack him around in practice? Probably not, actually. Yeah, McConkey's a really good player, particularly at Georgia. So probably wasn't the way that went down, but we're going to pretend.
At least you know his moves.
Yeah, whatever.
You know his dirty tricks. I don't know if he has dirty tricks.
I don't. Yeah, he's really quick and sudden.
He's scrappy. Hard hat.
Now you're using some things that we would say about a particular wide receiver of that complexion.
He knows that he's sneaky athletic.
He shouldn't be sneaky if you've seen him in practice every week.
Yeah, he can't sneak up on Lassiter.
You can't. This ain't Julian Edelman who was playing on the MAC. We saw that dude every week at Georgia. The sneaky athletic thing is out the window. Out the window. We saw him.
Stingley might have actually played him at LSU.
Hmm. That's Stingley was drafted in what, 21?
22.
Maybe. But Stingley sat out a year, didn't he?
He did sit out a year.
So maybe he didn't play McConkey. Saw that huddle highlight, though, and knew.
That's why he sat out. He
didn't. You're not going to ruin my draft status, McConkey. I ain't going
to
get.
Trying to go third overall.
I'm not going to get cooked by a guy named McConkey. I'm sitting out.
I wonder how much more seriously. Not us, because we respect Ladd McConkey.
Of course, despite the jokes, we understand he's a good player.
I wonder how much more serious people would take him if his name
wasn't Ladd or McConkey.
Either one.
The combination.
Change either one.
The combination.
John McConkey, I think, gets more, a little bit more respect. I think John Smith gets more respect. I think Ladd Smith gets more respect. It's just Ladd McConkey is a very funny name.
There was a McConkey who was a good receiver. For a number of teams, Phil McConkey, but this was way back when. So the name itself, the last name itself, has been one that has had NFL success. He was okay. I mean, this version of McConkey has more receiving yards this year than that McConkey did. Actually, yeah, than that McConkey had in his entire career. But, you know, he actually fit the profile of the hard-nosed, scrappy receiver that you were using for Ladd. But he did win a Super Bowl with the Giants back in the mid 80s, 86, I think, when they beat the Broncos, I think. So that guy, the McConkey name, was one that had an NFL career. But this one, a little better. And it's a different league, more passing yards, all those things. We understand. I ain't shadowing Ladd McConkey until he proves I need to shadow him.
Yeah, he's not getting, I mean, this he's is not D'Amico Ryans.
Tyreek Hill treatment.
And D'Amico Ryans didn't do this last year. Against Amari Cooper
until Amari the Cooper playoffs. Proved that he needed to do it.
Yeah, he put up. They played either second to last, third to last. They played in December last season. They played the Browns, and Amari Cooper went for like 150 yards and three touchdowns, and they didn't shadow Stingley. And then when they played in the playoffs, guess what they did? They shadowed Stingley.
Enough was enough. We're not going to let this happen again.
Yeah, so I think it's more likely that it requires a. You know, the McConkey legacy game for that to happen, or if it happens at all. Maybe next year he'll shadow Ladd McConkey.
And just to give you the full scope of what Amari Cooper did, it was 11 catches for 265 yards and two touchdowns.
Oh, I shorted him 110 yards.
He was far more. If it was 130, he probably wouldn't have got shadowed. It was the fact that he went for 265. He decided, I'm going to T.Y. Hilton the Texans in a game, and that's why they had to limit him to 5 catches for 59 yards in the playoff game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of think that's what McConkey's going to do no matter what coverage they decide to play on him.
250 yards?
No, the 5 for 59.
Oh,
the playoff game version of Cooper.
I know. I don't think if you thought he was going to catch for 200 yards, the tone would have been different.
Yeah.
The entire...
Look, it might be
You know what? I think this guy is better than Ja'Marr Chase.
If McConkey goes for 200, whatever, it's the worst failure in D'Amico Ryan's history.
If that happens,
I'm not talking about football. His entire history is of a human
being. His life.
I don't. Yeah, D'Amico's apparently a great human being. So the off-the-field stuff,
yeah,
no worries.
But maybe, like, in fifth grade, he got a bad test score or something.
Yeah, maybe.
This would be worse than him getting a 45 on a
maybe before
test.
He had his come-to-Jesus moment, he said something to a teacher he shouldn't have. Whatever. This would be the worst moment in his life if McConkey goes. Actually, I don't say that. I don't know his personal history. But certainly his football life, if McConkey does what Amari Cooper did. It ain't happening, by the way. It's not happening. I don't care what Rex Ryan says about a bye. It ain't happening. McConkey ain't going for 200+.
Prize picks.
Over.
More on McConkey.
I don't know what the number is, but maybe it does go over, but it ain't to the tune of 265 yards.
71.5.
What's Herbert's number?
Herbert's passing number?
Yeah.
Probably is less than 2. Yeah, it's 233.
Yeah. I'm pretty safe in assuming and saying.
I think every starting quarterback has a passing number lower. No, Darnold's 268.
Okay.
I was going to say, everyone's lower than that Amari Cooper receiving game.
That's how big of a game it was. Turned it around in the playoffs. So, okay, we got one more segment to go before we wrap it up here. You want to get in still, 713-780-3776. After this show, it's Gallant George, followed by the Killer Bees. But that one segment's coming up. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
It was kind of a throwaway line when I was talking in a my bookie spot, but Justin Verlander is a Giant now. 1 year, $15 million. The 42-year-old will at least pitch for one more year, and he'll do it for the San Francisco Giants. That's perfect. Just send him in the National League. We won't care. I don't know if they're on the schedule this year. I'm not looking up baseball schedules in January of 2025. That can wait.
Luckily, a Astros beat writer did. I forgot which one.
Of course.
Shout out to you.
That's the first thought I had, but I wasn't going to put
Giants,
in the effort.
The Giants, I believe, will be coming to Daikin Park, where Justin Verlander had so many memories.
So
at Daikin Park.
Yes, I'm sure he will recount all the times he said, man, it's great to be in Daikin Park. So there's a possibility he'll pitch here. Who knows? It's not out of the realm, but that'll be depending on a rotation. Justin Verlander will pitch. Greg Kessinger won't be spending any time in Daikin Park as an Astro next season.
Tough day as an Astro fan.
You lose out on Verlander.
Verlander and Kessinger. Just the team that I grew up watching just doesn't look the same anymore. I grew up watching.
Watching Greg Kessinger?
Even
Justin Verlander?
Even Justin
you
Verlander.
Were all grown up.
I was 21
when
he got
traded. What are you talking about? I mean, some people will still call you a kid and, you know, legally you're an adult, and maybe,
yeah.
But still, you didn't grow up watching Kessinger or Verlander. We're not gonna let you get that off.
I grew up.
You grew up watching who? Carlos Lee.
Yeah, Hunter Pence.
Altuve's been around long enough where we could say,
yeah,
you grew up watching
in high school.
Altuve, yeah, that's allowed. Stretching it, but it's allowed.
Morgan Insberg, that's what I grew up. Adam Everett. Whew.
I mean, that's a lot of disappointing days you grew up through.
Yeah. You're right. You're right, Dell.
You went through the fire. So what if they cheated to win? I deserve it. I was watching Morgan Insberg get big at bats in playoff games.
Yeah.
Those brick red uniforms. Was a time, wasn't it?
Yeah. I watched Chris Carter. The other Chris Carter. No, the other one.
Not the only thing he does is catch touchdown passes, Chris Carter. Not him. No. Chris Burke.
Legend. Postseason hero.
Yes, that is correct. That's appropriate. The legend thing, too much.
Okay.
But postseason hero, that's cool. That's real. He did have his moment.
Old-ass Miguel Tejada. They signed him to like a 3-year
deal.
Did
you grow up with Suzuki, with Kaz? Does that qualify for you? Yeah.
Yeah. I learned what...
They learned what fissures means.
I learned. Thank you, Kazmatsu.
I knew what the first word in that phrase meant. I didn't know what fissures meant, though.
Well, I think I knew what both of them meant, just together. I never considered.
Yeah, you make a point. I had never heard of them together. I had never heard anyone put those two words together. Kaz. That's not a great way to be remembered in a city.
Guys, is an anniversary coming up for Kaz Matsui? Because that was like 2010, so we might be at like the 15.
We're talking about the 15-year anniversary of that diagnosis. That guy had a long career overseas, and he came here, and that's what the Houston people will remember him for. It is what it is. We are done for the afternoon. At least this show is the more late morning afternoon. Coming up next is Gallant and George, followed by the Killer Bees. I'm sure they won't get into a Kaz Matsui memoriam. He's not dead, but I don't think that'll be a topic of conversation on the next show, but you never know. Paul's a wild one. You just never know. We'll come back with more Texan stuff tomorrow, and we got a CFP game tomorrow as well on a Thursday. Look at that. So a lot to get to tomorrow. We'll see if Cam Whitmore is still upset. I do love that. A barely rotation player is a conversation. But hey, things are going pretty good for the Rockets. That's the one thing, I guess, if you think it's a thing, that could be a problem. So we'll see. We'll see if Cam's unhappy tomorrow. All right, since we're done, Sean, what does that mean?
That peanut butter skin.
That's right. Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.